A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I must boast, not that it is profitable, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up to the third heaven. And I know that this man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard ineffable things which no one may utter. About this man, I will boast, but about myself, I will not boast, except about my weaknesses. Although if I should wish to boast, I would not be foolish, for I would be telling the truth, but I refrain, so that no one may think more of me than what he sees in me or hears from me, because of the abundance of the revelations. Therefore, that I may not become too elated, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weaknesses. I would rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Bless the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for naught is lacking to those who fear him. The great grow poor and hungry, but those who seek the Lord want for no good thing. Come, children, hear me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and takes delight in prosperous days?
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear? All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. Verbum Domini. St. Paul reveals today that he had been granted a vision of heaven. And commentators have suggested that adversaries of St. Paul, who we heard recently in the readings, were known as the super apostles, that they were probably making a big deal about their own mystical experiences, boasting about visions and revelations, things that they had said God had granted them. They may have even been questioning whether Paul had any of these. St. Paul responds for the sake of confirming his divine call that the Lord had called him to preach the gospel, and that yes, he had experienced visions and revelations, but that is not something to boast about, right? Because that's the Lord's doing. It's not due to Paul. It's God's doing. St. Paul can't take credit for it. And if Paul boasts, it is to glorify the Lord, not himself. And he even speaks of it with modesty and humility, recounting the event about himself in the third person. That's why he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. But as much joy as this experience of this heavenly paradise caused him, he made it clear that if he had something to boast about, it was to be about his weaknesses, right? Because that's what gives greater glory to God. And so he speaks about this thorn in the flesh which afflicted him, in order to keep him humble in light of all the graces and consolations, these revelations that God had given him. And whatever this particular suffering was, we don't know exactly. St. Paul didn't say exactly what it was, but it caused him much suffering. Whatever that was, it helped him to become more dependent upon the Lord. And it wasn't a minor issue either, right? He said he begged the Lord 3 times to deliver him from this. It caused him a lot of pain and suffering. This also reminds us of the 3 times that Christ prayed to his heavenly Father, right, in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times, the Lord said, let this cup pass from me, right? But we also remember the conclusion of that prayer. Yet, let not my will, but thine be done. St. Paul then shares God's response to his own prayer, that this suffering, this thorn in the flesh, be taken away from him. The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. Like Paul did not receive the answer that he desired. He wanted this thorn to be taken away. And yet he came to realize that God had something better for him. What was better was that Paul received the grace that the Lord wanted to give him to persevere through this, to endure this cross. This was part of Paul's sanctification. It's part of Paul's purification and growth in holiness. And he came to realize that God's power is most clearly recognized in the light of our human weakness, right? That's why we'd hear the term that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're weak. But again, that shows that it's God working through us. And the more that we're aware of our weakness, the more we're inclined to turn to the Lord, to rely upon him and his strength and that grace that he gives us. And when we open ourselves to the working of God's grace in our lives, we can say with St. Paul, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. St. John Chrysostom made the following comment in light of this passage of St. Paul asking for relief in his suffering. And we know we should not feel guilty about asking the Lord for relief when we're suffering, we're enduring some cross, right? He knows what's best for us. Sometimes it might be to God's greater glory that he take away a certain suffering, that we glorify him, we thank him. At other times, it might be in God's infinite wisdom, he knows it'll be to our greater sanctification by enduring this cross, but he will also give us the grace for that. So St. John Chrysostom said, whether we have our requests granted or not, let us persist in asking and rendering thanks, not only when we gain what we ask, but also when we fail to. Failure to gain, you see, when that is what God wants, is not worse than succeeding. We do not know what is to our advantage in this regard and the way God understands. Right? So again, we should ask, and whether the Lord gives us what we want or not, we thank him, because we know whatever, however he answers, that's for our greater good, for the greater salvation, for the salvation of our souls, and for the good of our spiritual lives. And particularly in light of today's passage, when it became clear to St. Paul that the cross was part of God's plan for his sanctification, to keep him humble, to help him grow in holiness. Also what comes to mind is what Padre Pio would say. He would write that in order to reach the haven of salvation, the Holy Spirit tells us that the souls of the elect must pass through and be purified in the fire of painful humiliations, like gold and silver in the melting pot. Jesus wants to make us holy at all costs, but above all, he wants to sanctify you. He offers you continual proof of this. It would seem as if he had nothing else to do but sanctify your soul. Oh, how good Jesus is. The continual crosses to which he subjects you, giving you not merely the necessary strength, but superabundant strength to bear them meritoriously, are most certain and singular signs of his deep love for you. So the crosses in our life, Padre Pio is saying, that's a sign of God's love for us, right? This is sanctifying us. He said the Lord wants to sanctify us at all costs, and oftentimes it's through the cross. You know that his grace is sufficient for us and strengthens us through the purifying crosses of life to make us more like himself, to conform us more to himself. And in today's gospel, our Lord tells us several times, do not worry. It's not God's desire for us to worry. Remember, Martha would be told by the Lord, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary, and that is to love God, right? To seek him, to seek his holy will. It's very easy for us to get anxious and worried about many things and to forget that one thing necessary. But our Lord tells us today, more than once, several times, do not worry. He's in control. Regarding our material needs, we're expected to work to do the best that we can. So this isn't a counsel to be lazy, right? We do the best we can, but we ultimately trust in the Lord and in his providence. He will always take care of us. And we know, again, in light of what happened to St. Paul in our first reading today and through the saints and perhaps through our own experience, that we may not always get what we want or in the way that we want it, but God does always provide, right? He brought us up to this present moment. And our Lord tells us today a reason for our anxiety and our worry. It's a lack of faith. He says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? He wants us to believe and to be firmly convinced that he will take care of us. He's God, right? He knows what's best for us. He wants what's best for us, and he will do what's best for us. These things are the basis for our confidence in him. And we're given in the gospel today as well, not only the cause of our excessive worry, but also the remedy, right? And that's, he said, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is how we will experience peace and overcome anxiety, by seeking him first, by seeking the kingdom of God first. Our Lord did not say to seek only the kingdom of God, but to seek it first, right? There's many things that we do have on our plates. There's many things that we do have to take care of, but to seek first the kingdom of God. So if we prioritize the Lord in our spiritual life, right, our growth in holiness, we won't forget everything else that's going on in our lives, but they will come into a right and proper order, and this will give us peace. The Lord wants us to seek him and his kingdom first, and everything else, he says, will give us besides, right? Everything else. He'll give us everything else we need. He wants our wholehearted attention to be that he should be first and foremost. And it can be helpful to ask ourselves, what am I seeking right now? What am I seeking? What most preoccupies my thoughts and my time? Is it the mammon, the wealth, and the possessions that he warned about in today's gospel? Is that first and foremost in my life? Remember, as we heard in yesterday's gospel, the Lord said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So may the kingdom of God and seeking holiness be our true treasure. And we ask for that grace to put order into our life, to put Christ first, to seek the kingdom of God first and foremost. We also celebrate today the memorial of Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. He was born into a wealthy and noble family in Italy in the 16th century. He had the privilege of receiving his first Holy Communion from St. Charles Borromeo, and he received the additional grace of later having as his spiritual director St. Robert Bellarmine. He entered the Jesuits at the age of 18, and he was studying for the priesthood, and he had this great desire to serve in the foreign missions and to die as a martyr. He wanted to shed his blood to help lead souls to Christ. And in his zeal and fervor, he also carried out many penances and acts of self-denial for the love of God. His superiors, however, judged that he was being excessive in this, so that he was ordered, he was commanded to get more sleep and to eat more food. And that was a penance for him, right? Because he wanted to deny himself sleep and food. But this was a way for him to grow in holiness, and he knew ultimately this was better for his soul to be obedient, right? He wanted to seek God's will through his superiors. When a plague broke out in 1591, Aloysius served and cared for the sick and the suffering, and he contracted the disease himself. And in his illness, he wrote a letter to his mother. In fact, it's part of the Liturgy of the Hours, which we read today. He said to his mother, "Our parting," talking about his death, "our parting will not be for long. We shall see each other again in heaven. We shall be united with our Savior. There we shall praise him with heart and soul, sing of his mercies forever, and enjoy eternal happiness." And he died as a seminarian at the age of 23, and it was Pope Pius XI who would later declare him to be the patron saint of youth. We ask for the intercession of Saint Aloysius today, that we might have that same desire that he had for God and for heaven, right? To put our gospel into practice, to seek first the kingdom of God. It was during that final illness that his spiritual director, St. Robert Bellarmine, spent time by his bedside, and Aloysius asked him, he said, "Is it possible to go straight to heaven without any purgatory?" And Bellarmine said, "Yes, it's quite possible." And Aloysius said, "Well, can I ask for that grace?" He said, "Yes, you sure can." And so he begged for the grace to go straight to heaven after his death. Right? We should have that same desire too. It is possible. Right? We can be purified and sanctified completely in this life. So we should have that desire and to pray for that grace. Aloysius also said to his rector, who was also standing by his bedside, he said, "We're going, Father, we're going." And the rector replied, "Where are we going?" He said, "To heaven." He said, "If my sins don't stop me, I hope in God's mercy to go there." So we pray again for that same desire that Aloysius had for heaven. We pray that that desire may increase in our souls each and every day.